Zumba, the new fitness phase in Hawaii today. Feel winded? Yeah, I am. I've been doing this for 5 services, man. I'm winded. You know, why do we get tired when somebody challenges us physically? Come on, get up out of your seat. Because you weren't expecting to do Zumba today, right? If people ask you, hey, what'd you do in church today? We Zumba today, man. That's New Hope, man. We Zumba. But we weren't expecting that. You're expecting to come, sit in your comfy chair, get entertained, and go home, right? Well, you notice we didn't sing Kumbaya this morning. We did Zumba. And we feel a little winded and tired because if we're not expecting to be challenged physically, we're not prepared for it, we get tired. You know, they say that although health club memberships soar in the New Year's, 85 to 90% drop out after a while. It's fun to begin with, to dance and everything, but after a while, when the going gets tough, people quit. And I think sometimes spiritually we're like that, aren't we? We get excited about Christianity, we get excited about coming to church, and New Hope is fun, we come and receive the Lord, we get water baptized, but after a while, when the realities of life check in, when we hit moments that we weren't expecting, we get frustrated, we get tired, we get desperate, and many times Christians quit. Why? Because we're not prepared. We're not spiritually fit. And the Lord knows that about ourselves. That's why we're encouraged all the time to get yourself into good spiritual condition, not only physical condition, get yourself in good spiritual condition, because you don't know when the unexpected realities will hit us, when we'll get blindsided. I love the ministry of Paul, because Paul, I think the effectiveness of his ministry comes in the fact that he understands human nature. He knows who we are. And when he writes about in the Bible, it's all about the things that we don't want to do. So he gives us encouragement. In fact, he tells us about getting in shape spiritually. He says to train. Why? Because we don't like to train, do we? We're not normally wired to get out of the bed in the morning and just love to stretch and work out and get ourselves all sweaty. You know, some of you are crazy enough to do that, but not all of us. We don't train unless there's something on the line. You talk to any athlete. They don't get into a good regimen of training, of working out, unless there's a game that's on the line, unless there's a championship that's coming up. In fact, think about tomorrow night. There's a BCS game, championship game between who? Oregon and Auburn. How many Oregons in the house? Yeah. All right, I can't see a champion being a duck, but that's okay. How many Auburn fans in the house? Yeah, you got Oregon and Auburn. Now, these guys are playing for the national championship in collegiate football. When did they start training? Yesterday? Last night? Last week? No, they've been training for a while. Why? Because they knew one day they're going to face the championship season and they're going to bring home the title. So they trained hard. Guess what they're going to be doing the night after the game is done? Yeah, 3 things. Eat, drink, and be merry. Because there's no game to train for. They're done with the season. And they're just going to kick back and relax. And we're like that. That's just the way that we're wired. We don't like to train. Especially when it comes to spiritualness, spiritualities. That's why Paul encourages us. And he writes in 1 Timothy all about training. Let's read that together. Scripture at the top of your notes. Ready? Go. Train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value. But godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. You know, Paul says to us, physical training and spiritual training, really no different. In fact, the word he uses for training comes from a Greek word, gymnasia, from where we get the English word gymnasium, which means training in a spiritual sense is the same as training in the physical sense. We need an environment. We need a discipline. Where just as we train ourselves physically and we challenge ourselves, we need to do the same spiritually. We need to get into an environment where we can stretch and strengthen our spiritual muscles. Why? Well, it gets us ready for the things today and for the things to come. Well, you might say, well, that doesn't make sense to me. Why do I have to go to Bible studies? Why do I have to go to some classes? Why do I have to come to church every weekend? The fact that I said yes to Jesus, the fact that my name now is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, where there's a room reserved for me when I'm dead and all this is done, isn't that good enough? You mean to tell me that if I don't go to a Bible study, that if I don't come to church for like 3, 4, 5 weeks, that my name will be erased from the Lamb's Book of Life? No, not necessarily. So why do I need to go through this spiritual training? I got enough stuff to do in the world, thank you. I don't need any more stuff on my list. Well, you know, sometimes we don't train unless there's a game. I got news for you folks. We are in a game right now. In fact, the Bible calls it a spiritual battle. And when do you think it's best to prepare for the battle? Tomorrow? Only when the missiles start flying your way? No, it's getting yourself ready now. Because we live in a world, folks, that is unfit. You know, Paul calls it in Philippians. He says we live in a corrupt and perverse generation. And what he said 2,000 years ago is still the condition of the world today. And it's getting worse. You take a look economically. You take a look at the values in this country or the lack thereof. The moralities that's going on in the legislation and laws. Things are only getting worse. We are living in a corrupted and a perverse generation. It's a world that is unfair. It's a world that is unforgiving. It's a world that is unpredictable. So you don't know. You don't know when you're going to get that pink slip that lays you off from your job. If you've ever experienced that, you kind of had a sense something wasn't right with the company, but you didn't know when they were going to give you that slip. You don't know. You don't know when your spouse is going to split from your family. You talk to anyone who has gone through the process of divorce, and they will tell you, yeah, I kind of thought things weren't going that well, and I wanted help, but I didn't know he was going to finally go through with it. You don't know those times. You don't know when a loved one is either going to get an illness that is not uncurable, or a loved one is going to get killed somehow by a traffic accident. You guys heard about that assassination attempt, the congresswoman in Arizona? It just happened the day before. She's given a public setting, in a public setting with some of her constituents answering their questions. This gunman walks up, points a gun to her head, and puts a bullet through her brain. It just happened, 40 years old. Doctors say she's going to make a full recovery. That's great, but 6 people were killed in that, including a 9-year-old girl. Do you know when these things are going to happen? We don't know. And it's not where God is unfair. God is not unfair. Life is unfair. And we're dealing with fallen men and women. And so we got to prepare ourselves spiritually so that when those things happen, when the unexpected happens, we're spiritually strong enough to sustain ourselves through those times. That's why we got to get ourselves in good spiritual condition. And when you take a look at athletics, the trained athlete, he's such an asset to his team, isn't he? He performs better on the field. I mean, you see a guy who is conditioned, he's trained well, he's studied, he's practiced. You see him run through the line, he's like silk, man. Nobody can touch him. He's an inspiration to other athletes around. And they don't get hurt very often, but when they do, they recover very quickly, these trained athletes. A Christian spiritually trained is no different. A Christian who is spiritually trained has a great, deep relationship with the Lord. He is an asset to God's team. Why? Because he performs well with his family, his responsibilities as a husband, as a wife, as a parent. They know what to do, and they do it well. They are an inspiration to others. You know of any Christians that are deep in their relationship with God? It's so cool to hang around with these guys. You just love it. They just inspire you to do more. And it's not where they're immune from the attacks of the enemy. They will get attacked, but when they're hurt, they recover a lot quicker. Trained Christians in good spiritual condition. So that's why. There's a reason why the Lord is saying to us through Paul, get yourself in shape. Not just physically, but get yourself in shape spiritually as well. Because you see, number one, would you write this in? Training and not trying is going to get you through life's challenges. It's not just trying. We all try. We all do our best and we try hard. But unless you're trained, unless you've trained yourself in the ways of God, you won't be able to make it through those moments where you hit the wall. See, we got to develop a discipline towards that. Paul says that in, I'm sorry, Hebrews says that in chapter 5. Would you read that with me? Chapter 5, Hebrews, ready? Go. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Would you underline the phrase, because of practice? It's taking the things of God, the things that you hear about God, that you may have read about or learned about, and now incorporating it into your lives where you start doing something about it. And by practicing, you're now able to discern between good and evil. But here's another level. It's not written in the Bible, but here's one that I've been learning along the way. When you practice the things of God and you get to know God even more so, you'll then be able to discern the difference between good and best. How many of you want God's best for your life? Yeah, you're not satisfied with just the good, right? We can all kind of tell the difference between good and evil. What's bad and you know, not bad. But when it comes to good and best, don't settle for second best, folks. Especially, I look out here, a lot of young women in dating relationships, don't settle for second best, women. God has the very best for you. Don't get into this time clock thing. There is a person that God has already made for your life. He's already been created, but he's in the process of being shaped. Wait patiently for that person. How are you going to know? You got to train yourself in the things of God so you can spot what's good and what's best for you. See, sometimes God may have the very best for you waiting, but because you haven't trained, you're not able to get to where he wants you to be. It's like this guy. He's a young man. He loves surfing. And one day, so he's at home sitting in his Lazy Boy recliner, and he's surfing the net, the TV, just channel surfing back and forth like this. And there comes a knock at the door. So he walks up slowly, kind of rambles to the door, opens it, and there's a young gentleman outside. He says, "Well, good afternoon, sir. We have studied all your records, and we see that you qualify to represent Hawaii in the Vans Triple Crown of Surfing coming up in a few months." "Me? Representing? Yeah, we studied everything, and you have such a good record of surfing. We want you to represent Hawaii. Will you accept the invitation?" And the guy goes, "Wow, I always love to surf. So, yeah, maybe, yeah, I'll do it. I'll accept the invitation." He said, "All right, we'll call you in a few months when the swells start coming in. We'll let you know when that is, and you get yourself out there to represent all of Hawaii." He shuts the door. He walks back to his chair. He's thinking, "Wow, whoo, it's cool, man. I can represent Hawaii, doing the thing I love to do best." And he kind of settles back into the Lazy Boy chair, and he begins surfing again, surfing all the net. And right next to him is a box of malasadas. He stuffs one in his mouth and begins to think of all the waves he's going to catch as the haupia begins to seep down the side of his mouth. Well, weeks turn into months, malasadas turn into manapuas, and that's all he's doing, just stuffing his mouth. Well, the day comes when the phone rings, and they say, "Hey, brother, remember when we met with you? The swells are coming in. The Triple Crown starts tomorrow. Grab your board. We'll meet you out at the North Shore, Haleiwa Beach Park." Guy goes, "Shoot, man, I'll be there." So he hangs up the phone, gets all his surfing gear together. The next day comes, he can hardly sleep. Puts his board on the car, drives all the way out to Haleiwa, gets out of the car, picks up his board. Everyone else is already paddling out to where the sets are. This guy grabs his board. He jumps in the water only to find out that the only thing that's keeping him afloat are the pontoons that he's developed over the months. And he's lying on his board and he's trying to paddle out to the waves. But every time he does, the shore break hits him and he tumbles back into the sand. Gets up again and everyone else has already paddled out to the spot. And he's trying to paddle out and again he gets hit. Boom! And we're all there supporting this guy. Because he comes from New Hope. And we say, "Come on, Pastor Roy, get out there, man." And he says, I'm trying. I say, "No, come on." And he gets hit again and he tumbles back in. He says, "I'm really trying hard. Come on, Pastor Roy. You got to get out there. You represent New Hope, man." And he gets hit again and again and again. What was Roy's problem? Was he trying hard? Yeah, he was trying really hard to get out there. He had so much on his side, though, that he couldn't quite. Only a hypothetical, all right? Only a hypothetical. But he's tried to get out there. He just couldn't because he didn't do what, folks? He didn't train. He didn't train. He had the best opportunity waiting for him to compete for this championship. But he didn't take the time to train. And sometimes God has that best for us. And if we don't take the time to train, we won't know what it is. We won't be able to reach to where God wants us to be. Because we haven't trained, we carry all this extra baggage with us into our present. And we can't enjoy what God has, the life that God has. In fact, I love the way the Message translation takes 1 Timothy and paraphrases it. Read 1 Timothy with me. Ready? Go. Exercise daily in God. No spiritual flabbiness, please. Workouts in the gymnasium are useful, but a disciplined life in God is far more so, making you fit both today and forever. When you train, you not only experience the blessings of God and the things that God has for you now, but also in the future. You'll be able to identify what they are. You'll be able to discern what it is. Well, how do you discipline yourself then? How do you train? Would you fill in number two? Set the right goals. A lot of times we don't set the right goals, and that's why we quit. That's why we fail at what we try to do. Physical fitness. We don't set the right goals many times. We say, this year, my New Year's resolution is I'm going to work out. And so we set a schedule. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, we're going to run. Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, we're going to lift weights. That's my goal. You know why we quit? Because it doesn't inspire us, does it? Who wants to get up and run and lift weights every week? Same thing, same thing. Those are not goals. Goals are not a matter of setting up schedules. You know what a goal should be? A goal should define what you want to look like. So if you're talking spirit, physical fitness-wise, you should get like a picture, a beautiful picture of who you want to be, put that up somewhere, and every day say, I'm going to be like that. And then however way you choose to get there is up to you. Don't confuse the means as being the end. We say a lot of times scheduling is the end for us. That's what we want to do. And when we miss a workout, when we miss a couple of weeks, we quit because we say, oh, shucks, I'm beyond that already. No. A goal defines who you want to be in the end, what you want to look like. See, a goal is something that defines the end for you, the end product. That's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians, let's read that scripture. Ready? Go. You've all been to the stadium and seen the athletes race. Everyone runs, one wins. Run to win. All good athletes train hard. They do it for a gold medal that tarnishes and fades. You're after one that's gold eternally. Paul says, run to win. Underline that phrase. Because he gives us the goal. You know what we say to kids when they're playing baseball or soccer? It's not whether you win or lose. It's what? How you play the game that counts. That's fine for kids. But when it comes to spiritual fitness, you know what Paul is saying? You got to win. It does matter whether you win or lose in spiritual fitness. He says, run to win. It doesn't matter how you play the game. It doesn't matter how you get there, as long as in the end you win. Well, how does he define win? Because it's important how we define win. You know what it means to win spiritually? It means you take on the likeness of Jesus Christ in more and more ways. Winning is not about, and growth is not about your achievements. Would you fill that bullet point in there? It's not measured by your achievements. It's revealed in who you're becoming. Spiritual growth is all about who you're becoming. And Paul gives us the image of who we should become. He gives us a picture of who we should be looking like. He says that in Galatians 5. Would you read Galatians with me? Ready? Go. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Paul says the end product is that we become more and more like these qualities. How is our life reflecting the love of Christ, the forbearance or forgiveness of Christ? How is our life reflecting the self-control that Jesus Christ portrayed, even going to the cross, even when we're persecuted? And Paul is saying, it doesn't matter how you get there. It's not about setting up these schedules as goals. It's the image of Christ that should be your goal. Because we can set all kinds of schedules, yeah? Okay, so you want me to be spiritually fit. That means this year I'm going to join like 10 Bible studies, okay? Is that good enough for you? Okay, you want me to pray, I'm going to pray with this group like 6 times in this next month, okay? And I'm not going to just come to church on the weekend. You're telling me to be spiritually fit? So I'm going to live here. I'm going to sleep here all week long, okay? Is that what you want? No, that's not what I want. I'm not asking you to set up a schedule. However way you get to where God wants you to be, you choose what that is. But so long as you're moving towards being more and more in the likeness of Jesus Christ, that's your goal. See, we set the wrong goals all the time. We set up these goals of, okay, I'm going to join all these Bible studies, and then we miss 1, 2, 3. We say we're going to come to service every single weekend, and then we miss like 1, 2, or 3, which I know you guys do. I watch you guys. You know, we don't attend every single weekend, and we say, oh, I'm such a failure, and we drop out. And I'm telling you, no, that's not your goal. Your goal is to be like Jesus Christ. How you get there is up to you. There's so many ways of getting there. But you need to reflect the likeness of Jesus Christ. That's the right goal, to spend time with Him. This last Christmas, my son Jared wanted a fishing pole, a rod and reel. And he really wanted it bad. He even wrote that in his letter to Santa. And so I read that from his school homework assignment. And I said, well, I better get one for him. So I bought a rod and reel. I hid it under the tree. When he came out, he says, Dad, I got my rod and reel. I said, oh, good. He says, let's go fishing. I said, but you only wanted a rod and reel. You didn't tell me about fishing. You got your rod and reel. He said, no, when are we going fishing? I said, oh, man, I'm too busy right now. He said, no, let's go fishing. So finally we had a break. Took him down to Ala Moana. You know, not Magic Island, but the ever end of Magic Island where that pond is. And I said, okay, Jared, I'm going to teach you how to fish, all right? We're going to throw out the line, but then you got to reel it in, and reel it in pretty fast, because otherwise it's going to drag on the bottom. It's going to pick up all that muck. So he threw it out okay, and then he started reeling it in. I said, no, you got to go faster. And he pulled in, like, you know, all the leaves, and he pulled in, like, you know, somebody's sock. And so I'm standing there. I'm trying to peel it off like this. And I said, okay, now reel it in faster. So he threw it out. Reeled it in, but it was too slow. Pulled in, like, I don't know, somebody's diaper and all kinds of, all this kukai kind of stuff. And so I started peeling it off, and I'm grumbling to myself, oh, stupid kid, you know, don't know how to reel this thing in. And as I'm grumbling, I see, like, on the corner of my eye, like, little fish jumping out of the water, and something's chasing it. So I said, Jared, barracuda over there. We're going to catch a barracuda. I'm just kidding with you. So I peeled it off. So I walked over. I said, throw it right over there. He threw it, and he missed. I said, give me that rod. I'll show you. I threw it out there, and I reeled it. I said, see, you got to do it fast like this. Threw it out again and reeled it in, and boom, the reel went zzz like that. I thought, man, we got a fish. We caught a fish. So I'm pulling it in. I'm fighting it. My pole is, like, bent over. Pulled it all the way in, and we caught a barracuda in that pond in Ala Moana. And the barracuda must have been, like, you know, but like something like this, yeah? Yeah, no, it was like, you know, it was pretty big. It was about like, and so anyway, so I pulled it all the way in. And the thing is, where I stand, where we caught the fish, it's a high wall. It's about 3 feet above the water. And I didn't bring any net. And so I'm looking at this fish, and I told Jared, go get the bucket. See, in the meantime, Joy is doing her exercise. She's walking around the park. I said, go get the bucket. And so I'm thinking, you know, I can't let this fish get away. I got to show my wife this fish. So I tried to pull it up on the wall. So I went like 1, 2, and I pulled it up, and the hook came off. It fell down, and it's laying on this rock ledge. Not in the water. It's on this ledge, and it's looking up at me like, oh, my. So I'm looking at this fish, and I'm thinking, oh, I can't let this thing get away. So I jumped down off the wall, and I grabbed the fish like this, but it was so slippery and slimy, it twisted, and it got out of my hand. It jumped in the water. But it wasn't moving. It was just sitting there in the water. Jared comes running back with the bucket, and as soon as he ran back, the fish turned and swam away. And at that very moment, Joy shows up. She said, "What are you doing down there, catching tilapia?" I said, "No, it was a barracuda." She goes, "Yeah, right." I said, "Yeah, it was a barracuda, man. It was like big. It was a big fish." And I said, "Jared, right? We caught this barracuda." He goes, "Yeah." I said, "No, Jared, wasn't it fun? We caught this thing." He said, "I didn't catch anything." You know, it's those times where the Holy Spirit just connects with your heart. And it's almost like the Lord said to me, "That's right, he didn't catch anything. Why didn't you give him the rod and reel to reel it in?" I said, "Lord, because I'm trying to catch this fish and I'm trying to build memories." He said, "Why do I want to give you memories when in a few years you're not going to remember anything anyway? Why didn't you give it to your son so he can build memories? What was the goal for today?" I said, "Lord, the goal was catching fish." "No, the goal was spending time with your son." "Oh, you're so right, God." See, sometimes we set the wrong goals in mind, don't we? So you want me to spend time doing this Bible study, doing this prayer group, doing this midweek service? No, no, no. God says, "I don't want you to spend time doing those things. I want you to spend time with my son." Because when you spend time with your son, when you spend time with his son, you get to understand what the hope is that his son provides for your life. You get to understand the promises of God that is the foundation of your life, and you can now begin to stand and live by those promises. You begin to understand that there is a son, a God, a person named Jesus Christ, who's there to hold everything together in your life when the world is trying to rip you apart. It happens by you taking the time to spend time with the Son. What are you doing about that this year? What kind of adjustments do you need to make to spend time so that you can get into a deeper relationship with the Lord Jesus as your goal? Whatever you choose to do, number three, would you write this in? Strive for consistency and commitment. You know, we will provide, as a church, many, many opportunities for you to get involved in something, for you to jump in anywhere. We have these half sheets printed every single week with opportunities. It's like a buffet line of opportunities where you can begin to grow. We have new believers classes. We have classes that talk about stewardship. We have classes that deal with spiritual gifts. We have classes that talk about spiritual growth essentials. We have life groups, we have ministry groups, we have affinity groups where you get together because of hiking or surfing or what the affinity may be. We have many, 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 many opportunities. But you got to choose. You got to choose to jump into anyone. You might say, "Well, there's so many. I don't have time for like all of this stuff." I said, "No, you know what New Hope is all about?" And we're coming back to basics. Yeah, this whole series is coming back to basics. This is who New Hope is. What we say to you is find one point of discipleship outside of the weekend service. Not 2, 3, 4, 5. Just choose one point of discipleship outside of the weekend service. But whatever you choose, commit to it and be consistent with it. Let's read what Paul says again. 1 Corinthians 9, Message translation. Ready? Go. "I don't know about you, but I'm running hard for the finish line. I'm giving it everything I've got. No sloppy living for me. I'm staying alert and in top condition. I'm not going to get caught napping, telling everyone else about it, and then missing out myself." See, what Paul is saying is we can say we're Christians. We belong to New Hope. "Oh, are you involved in it?" "No, nothing." "Oh, what about that?" "No, I'm not involved with that either." And we miss out. And Paul says, "I'm going to make a commitment to run hard because I need to train hard because I don't know when I'm going to get hit with something that life will throw at me. But I want to be spiritually strong so when it does happen, I can sustain myself through those periods." And we need each other. We need each other to encourage ourselves towards that end. Hebrews 10 says, "Let's consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more so as you see the day drawing near." You know what's worse than a man starving to death? Is a man who's starving to death in a land of plenty, where there are friends that aren't even encouraging him to eat. Folks, New Hope has a lot. We offer you a lot of opportunities. We need each other to encourage one another to begin the process of becoming spiritually fit. Simply Jesus is a great conference. It's all about ratcheting back, despite the change in the economy, the change in the political world, the change in everything that's going on in the world. We ratchet back. And how do we live? Simply as Jesus would want us to live. That's what the conference is about. That might be a great start for many of you. But you got to choose. I'm so glad that I have a God that I can run back to, that I started developing this spiritual fitness with him. That no matter how much I have suffered, I've suffered many times, especially in ministry. But there's a God I can run back to that I know he loves me. He gives me hope. He gives me strength to sustain another day. I want you to hear a testimony of a dear sister. She's been through a lot, more than I think we could ever imagine ourselves having to live through. But somehow she's come out still praising Jesus with all of her heart. Would you welcome April Brangenberg as she comes out? April?
This is a big crowd. I think I'm getting scared now, but wow. It's very full, and the neat thing is you guys are all smiling because you guys heard some good words from Pastor Elwin, and it's more than the words. Yeah, it's his heart, his love for the Lord, and his love for all of you. He loves you guys so much. That's the only reason why he can come out and Zumba for all five services. Can you imagine yourself doing that? You know, he loves you guys. He would do anything for you. And that's why he is providing the way he is. And, okay, it's the last service. So I'm just telling everybody that I'm going to talk long because I have you guys. There's so much I want to tell you, and I will try and not keep you forever. But I want to help you understand who God is for me. And maybe you will be encouraged and thank you, Lord, and transformed, because you will see how blessed you are. I was born with something called spina bifida. It's a malformation of the spinal cord. And so when I was about 1 month along in the gestation period, I don't know where these words are coming from, but I think they're correct. When I was still inside my mom and about 1 month along, my spinal cord didn't close up. It was the vertebrae stayed open. And so rather than having these nice closed ones, I have these that are open in my spine. And so then my spinal cord is exposed. What that means practically is it affects my digestive system, and I so cannot hold my shishi that I have to wear pull-ups. And I'm very grateful for pull-ups because I go through many of them in one day, and I could be making shishi right now, and unless I leak, we would all be okay. So, but I'm not. But I just wanted to help you guys understand that if you can hold, you're doing way good. I also, after I was born, about 6 months along, I had polio, and that affected my right leg, and oh no. You don't need to get sad. I see some people getting really, like, frowning already. But it gets worse before it gets better. But God is so good. He is so faithful. And he helped me to understand that, you know, he made me, yeah. He understood who I was before I was even born. And so when he saw that things weren't happening exactly right, he said, you know, it's okay. because maybe it's good for April that she can't run away from me. Maybe it is good for April that she can sit still. Because if she does, she will be able to sit by me and we can talk story. And so that's exactly what happened all my life. When the other children were playing, God and I would talk. And he would show me about each child. And when they were doing PE or something, he would say, look at that one. He's so good, but you know, little bit of a pride thing going on. But I love him. He's so good at what he does. And so God would show me each child and tell me about them. And I was so blessed that God would lean in close. And so when I see all of you, I feel so blessed because I see Jesus in each one of you. And so when you put everybody together, oh my gosh, it's such a beautiful picture of who Jesus is. But then God is just reminding me now that we are called the bride of Christ. And that is a cool thing. That's why Pastor Elwin works so hard, because he wants us to be beautiful and radiant for when we get to see Jesus, when Jesus comes for his bride. Because if you've been to a wedding, oh my gosh, I have been to many, and it's such a wonderful thing when the groom is standing in the front and he's just waiting to see his bride. And then when she comes in the room, his heart is yearning for her, and her heart is so yearning for him. And they look at each other, and their eyes are fixed, and yes, here she comes, you know, and everybody kind of gasps, you know, and it's a beautiful moment. And that's what we want to be for Jesus. And so we have that opportunity here. That's why Pastor Elwin is so good about telling you about the opportunities that can happen even here at church, about being involved. You know, for me, having a care group was so wonderful because we could share things with one another. When one went into the hospital, we could go and visit and help her understand that God is with her, that this wasn't a forever thing. And then I knew that God would have them there for me. Because, you know, here I was 4 years ago, and I wasn't taking very good care of myself. I was too busy trying to work and get things done. So I wasn't taking care of myself. I wasn't getting good rest. I wasn't eating right. I would skip meals and stuff. I was so stressed out and everything, and I was feeling so sick. And then God said to me, April, you're having a stroke. And so I asked my husband, John, who kissed me, not Pastor Elwin, but John, I said, will you call 911 because we need to go to the hospital now. And so I was already sinking fast. I mean, literally sinking. My left side just started to go limp, and I was trying to get to the bathroom, and I couldn't. I slipped off the chair I was in, and I fell on the floor, and John couldn't lift me up because it was just plain dead weight. And so I lay there in a puddle, a growing puddle of my own shishi, and here comes the EMTs. And so they take my blood pressure, and it was like over 280. They took my 280 over 140 or something like that. My blood sugar was over 200, and I was losing it very quickly. By the time I got to the hospital, God was still with me. I thought, now am I going to die now? And I didn't see any light. And so I said, God, he goes, no, you're not going to die. We're going to walk through this together. And I didn't understand what that meant, but I was so glad that he told me that he was with me. Well, things went from bad to worse, because for 3 weeks, the doctors couldn't control my vitals. I was very ill, and I didn't know if I would ever come out of it. I couldn't speak anymore, and my vision was fractured. Everything looked like Picasso paintings. And I thought, now, is that what Picasso really saw? You know, I really didn't know, but it was really bad. And the enemy came. Like Pastor Owen says, when you're weak, the enemy comes. And he did. And he lied to me. He told me, you know what? You will always be like this. You will never be able to tell anybody you love them. You will never be able to communicate that you are in desperate pain and that you need some relief from pain meds or something. You will just suffer like this for the rest of your life. And he almost had me. But then, you know, God kicked in miraculous ways. Scripture that I had never even memorized, but I had read, it came up inside of me. And it was beautiful promises about who we are in Christ, about where our strength comes from, about having hope and joy in the Lord. And I needed that at that time because there was no way out of me. And so God gave me hope. He gave me joy. And then the people who I went to visit, they came to visit me. And it was wonderful that they were there for me, that they prayed for me, that they anointed me with oil, that they held me up when I was weak. And that's what we can do for each other. We need to be able to recognize one another, to see one another eye to eye and heart to heart, and cherish each other because the Lord cherishes us. And so I understand that my life is different from most. I will tell you one more scripture. When I read this one, I was like, so how do I interpret this? And it's the one about run in such a way that you may win the prize. I'm like, okay, so God, how do I run in such a way? He goes, April, it looks like this for you. And he showed me a picture of him and me, and I was very small, and he was very large, but somehow his hand reached down, and he held me like this, and we ran together, and he kept pace with me, and then he would slow down, and when things got difficult, I looked up at him, and he scooped me up in his arms. And he said, that's what it means to run in such a way. And he said, the prize, he showed me the prize. The prize is with me all the way. It's him. He is with me all the way. And so I just continued on to believe that he would continue to do a good work in me. And he so has. Now, rather than 38 units of insulin, I am now at zero. He has healed me. I can't believe it because people keep telling me that's not possible. And I'm like, well, I didn't know. Tell God that. And so, God, yeah, zero insulin. I don't even take any pills for my diabetes or was. And even with my blood pressure, other than moments like right now, I think that my blood pressure usually does pretty good. My left side is so healed that I can actually play the piano again with both hands, and I can even memorize music, which is something I never could do before, and so I get to worship the Lord. And so, you know, and that's an important part about worshiping the Lord. It's so important that I know how to do that now, because when I get to heaven, oh, I want to be good at it. I don't want to be sitting on the sidelines with the hymnal in my face, in my face and trying to look at words. I want to look at Him. I want to see Him. I want to sing to Him. I want to adore Him. And so He's helped me to understand something. When I see Him face to face, the well done, good and faithful servant is for this side of heaven. It comes because we have run the race, we have fought the good fight, we serve, we love, we know Him, we continue to grow in Him, and He knows that because He is with us and we've asked Him to be with us. And so we hear the good and faithful servant here now. But when I see Him face to face, I want to make sure that He knows me. I want to make sure that when He sees me, He says, "April, it's you. I know you. I love you. You know what? You can run. You can jump. Come. Jump into my arms. Let me hold you. Let me know you. You can hear my heartbeat. You know that I love you. And I get to worship Him for eternity." And that's what we want for all of you. That you would be ready, that you would desire, that everybody you know would be ready. That's the desire of my heart. I'm going to say one more thing. You know, when in the past 2 weeks, I was like so freaking out. I was so full of the Lord. I was so thrilled. I was so happy because He's continuing to heal me. I was so excited. I said, "Lord, use me, please, somehow. Would you help me to bless at least one person?" And then by this past week, Tuesday, I was like so like screaming at God. I said, "God, please, would you use me?" And then on Wednesday morning, I got an email from this church, and Wendy Kinimaka said, "Would you come and share?" It's scary. You know, when you ask God stuff, He's listening. And we need to be ready for whatever He says, because when He wants you to do it, He wants you to do it right when He asks. And so we want to be ready. So I'm asking you, please, would you find Him in your heart? And if you need, ask Him, invite Him, tell Him, "You know what? I want to learn. I want to grow. I am ready. Could you help me, please?" And then let Him. It's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity that will change your life forever. Thank you.
April Vandenberg. How does one live through a life with so many challenges and yet still find the joy in her heart to worship God? It's only because she began that a long time ago. Developing your spiritual fitness is important, folks, because we don't know when we're going to get hit with these times, when life's realities hit us. Let's be a church like that. It's going to take some time. It's going to take a little discipline, but it's so well worth it, as April testified about. Let me pray for you. Father God, thank you for just the opportunities you give us to grow with you. Lord, it's all about coming into a relationship with you, but also growing in that relationship. And we want to make the changes this year, starting now, to begin the process of becoming all that you want us to be. Not something that's going to happen overnight, but Father, would you help us to take the first steps along the way? And whatever we choose to do, may we do so with all of our hearts, just as we love you. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, let me ask if some of you are here today, where you're looking for a new beginning. You've tried living on your own. You've tried relying on man or woman, and that's always failed. But it's a new year, and you want to start off right. And maybe you haven't yet given your heart over to Jesus Christ.
You don't know everything there is to know, but you know that there is a need for a change. And what you've put off for too long, maybe today is the day that you say to the Lord, Lord, give me a new start. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Would you remove the past from me and give me a future? Help me to understand the promises that you have. If that's you today and you're saying, yes, I want that new start, a new beginning, would you raise your hand right now? You're saying, yeah, that's me. Lord, come into my heart right now. Right here, brother, in the front. Good. Back there on the sides. Good. Here in the middle. Yeah, keep your hands up so the Lord can see it. Right here, sisters. Good. Anyone else on this side? Yeah. The back, right? Yeah. God sees your hearts there. Put your hands down. How many of you would say, you know, I've been walking with the Lord for a while and I need to make some changes. I need to start that process of growing with Him. There is so much more ahead of me that I want to take part of, but I need to be able to join with Him in that work. Help me, Lord, to make the changes, shift my priorities around a little bit, and begin the process of being all that you want me to be. Lord, help me to do so. If that's you, would you raise a hand right now? Say, yeah, we need a new year. Yeah, any of us. Can you put your hands down? If you just said yes to Jesus for the first time, we have a yes packet available for you. It's completely free. It's outside as you exit the auditorium. There's a Bible in there, some material that's going to help you to understand your walk with Him. Go up to any one of the counselors that's holding up this yes packet. Tell them of the decision you just made, and we'll be there to celebrate with you. Let's say this prayer together. I'll say the prayer. Would you repeat it with all your hearts? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Dear Jesus, thank you that you came and died for my sins, that I might have life everlasting. Help me to change. Help me to be all that you want me to be, to change my life into your image. And now I say this so I can hear myself, so those around can hear, so you can hear me, and so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Lord and Savior. I belong to Him, in Jesus' name. Father, that's our prayer. We take our steps with you, Lord, walking with you all the way to the throne. We praise you for who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen? Amen. Welcome these who said yes for the first time. And let's stand as we